B-Pod Studios.
Zolak and Bertrand. Sports talk in the middle of the day.
You know what's hilarious about it, Scott? I could act like I know what I'm talking about.
That's what we do every day.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Championship teams have openly talked about it. This is a real thing, and I think that we collectively coming together to address racism in wherever that exists is a conversation that must continue to maintain and really be at the forefront of all dialogue around sports. It really does.
Yeah, and the comments that Celtics president Danny Ainge made in response to Kyrie Irving's news conference after the game the other night, that Danny Ainge in his 26 years in Boston had never heard this from either a teammate in as a player in Boston or as an executive in his years running the Celtics front office. That shocked people around the NBA that Danny Ainge would say that, because as you just said, Jay, you're talking about from Marcus Smart in the current era back to Bill Russell and the original Celtics prior to Danny Ainge. His teammates did go through that in Boston. Gerald Henderson, Cedric Maxwell talked about it in the great book Selling of the Green. And so the idea that this was new to Danny Ainge surprised people around the league that he would say that, and it's really not based in reality.
And can I, that just really bothers me for a second, because just because you didn't see something happen doesn't mean that it didn't happen. Mm-hmm. And those are the comments from a leadership perspective. That sounds a little tone deaf to me.
That was Friday night prior to the game on ESPN with Adrian Wojnarowski reporting that people around the NBA, around the league, were surprised at Danny Ainge's comments that he made on Toucher and Rich last week. And now, in response to those comments, there's been a conversation about Danny Ainge. And when that happens, people go back and they find more examples of what they think are comments and quotes that support Danny Ainge not taking the issue seriously enough. And in that search for other media and quotes involving Danny Ainge, a video has been circulated over the weekend of Danny Ainge, who had a conversation with WBUR back in September of 2019. He did a live sit-down, sports and society sit-down with Shira Springer, and they had a conversation about his career as a player and his career as an executive. And it's Shira Springer and Danny Ainge sitting down with a table between two ferns, okay? Sitting there having their conversation.
Ferns are nice.
And
such a neutral plant.
Danny Ainge gets asked, again, this is prior to the last year. This is prior to the death of George Floyd. This is prior to the pandemic. This is Danny Ainge being asked about players in the league having opinions on things other than just basketball. And Danny Ainge's answer is, it's unbelievable to me that this is not getting more run and more play in the days since this has started circulating on Twitter. Have a listen to this.
Social media does, though, give players a bigger platform than they might have had in the past. And in the NBA in particular, some of the superstars like LeBron James and like the Warriors, Steph Curry, have used those platforms to take on social injustice, to take on the current president.
Just like Hollywood.
I was going to ask you, what do you think about that? And, you know, you've also got someone in the coaching ranks and Greg Popovich in San Antonio, who's been critical of the president and supportive of Colin Kaepernick. What do you make of the political activism and the social activism of today's players?
I mean, they're NBA players. I'm around them all the time. I'm much more curious of what you have to say about them than any NBA player or any famous person in Hollywood. They're probably the last people on earth that I would ask their opinion and political views. Like I said, Steve Kerr and Popovich, yeah, I like listening to them, but there's not very many players that I really care what they have to say about that are influencing me in any way on any aspect of life.
Wow. Holy crap.
First time I heard that.
He for real?
I
never mind. Never mind.
It is so, before we even unpack, there's so much to unpack here. Before you even unpack.
But he's going to give Kerr and Popovich a thing, but not listen to players?
You picked up on that right away, huh? I would definitely listen to the two old white guys that were mentioned, but NBA players, there is not a group I would put ahead of them. They are the last people on planet Earth that I would ever ask about anything. And
I just dismiss all their commentary.
Oh, my God. There's so much to unpack here. Forget. Let's put the political stuff aside for 1 second.
Right.
How dismissive is Danny Ainge of the opinions of NBA players on anything that is not X's and O's on the court?
That's your league.
That is the most.
They allow you to exist and have a job.
Dismissive comment I've ever heard from anybody in the NBA. Never mind the Boston Celtics. The guy who runs the basketball side of the Boston Celtics openly saying, players' opinions mean absolutely nothing. They're the last people on earth I'd be asking about anything that influences my life in any way. Do you want to talk about a guy who doesn't get the NBA in 2021? And forget 2021. He didn't get the NBA in 2019, 2 years ago. Do you think the players' influence in the NBA has shrunk or grown in the last 2 years?
I think it's probably grown a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. Little bit.
But even in the interview a week ago, he even said, hey, it's one guy's opinion. You know, it's still dismissing, you know, what Kyrie said, and he was golfing at the time, and he'd probably do a different type of interview if he wasn't trying to punch it out with a 5-iron, you know, and move his round along just to get through the interview. He probably would answer a little differently now.
They're NBA players. Like, why would you even ask me? Yeah. Who cares what these guys think?
Their job is to play.
So when we talk, and I say all the time, I've been saying for a year now, make Jason Tatum the GM. Do you think he even cares to ask Jason Tatum about the roster?
No. But maybe he does. Those are two different things.
I'm not sure they are.
I don't know.
Because it's something beyond what his job is, which is you go out and play basketball. I'm the roster guy.
Yep.
This is my job. You don't get to say.
Danny's Kevin Costner from draft day. I make the decisions. You coach the team.
It is wildly dismissive of NBA players and their voices. And it tells you how fraudulent it is when, after the death of George Floyd, Danny Ainge was tweeting about how great it was to be on a Zoom call and hear his players and their voices. That's the truth right there. It's easy to give those stock PR-friendly answers about how great it is to have your players, you know, be united and talk about the issues, whereas in 2019, before things had really come to the forefront, this is where he's saying last people on earth he'd be checking in with for an opinion on anything. Play it again. It's unbelievable. I can't believe that this has been buried for 2 years. Play it again.
I don't know if we need to.
It's bad. It's bad, and nobody is really paying attention to this.
I think they are now.
I thought it was going to blow up over the weekend. I saw it on Friday afternoon, and I said, this is insane. He's already in enough crap from what he said on TNR in being sort of flippant and not giving it a lot of credit and saying that in all his years in Boston, he's never even heard of an incident of racism. Now you get this. Play it again. Hit it, Tebow.
I mean, they're NBA players. I'm around them all the time. I'm much more curious of what you have to say about them than any NBA player or any famous person in Hollywood. They're probably the last people on earth that I would ask their opinion and political views. Like I said, Steve Kerr and Popovich, yeah, I like listening to them, but there's not very many players that I really care what they have to say about that are influencing me in any way on any aspect of life.
See, this is he just equated them to people in Hollywood. So whatever side you're on, left, right, whatever, we're not doing political.
So he's clearly on the right because Hollywood's on the left.
But it's always,
as are most of his players.
You always dismiss the outspoken rich people, right? Whatever side you're on, whether it's players activating for once on this side or Hollywood activating for somebody on that side.
So why does he single out Greg Popovich and Steve Kerr?
I don't know.
Clearly also lean left.
Because they're coaches?
And would disagree.
I don't know.
Why?
Yeah, I like listening to them.
And what's different?
And what's the bizarre part about, I'd rather listen to you.
Kerr, isn't Kerr left?
I mean, they both are.
Yeah, both are.
But to say,
oh, that's right.
To Shira Springer, I'd be more interested in listening to you, Shira Springer, tell me about NBA players than me asking NBA players what they think. It's just a strange answer.
That's the weird part of it, because I think all of us feel kind of like Danny and like, whatever Kyrie says isn't going to influence me. Whatever Ben Affleck says isn't going to influence me.
Right.
You know, I separate these things. I have the ability to, everyone has an opinion. I'll listen to all of it, but I'm not going to be influenced. Why does he then say, and that's the problem, Beetle. Why does he say, I'm interested in Popovich or Steve Kerr, but there's no player that's going to have anything that will be said that's going to influence me one way or the other.
And how dehumanizing that is. Well, to talk about this dehumanizing thing that you've heard from Kyrie and you've heard from Durant about, we're people. And Marcus Smart, too, said, we're people. Yeah. I'm a person. How could that woman who used a racial slur against him years ago outside the Garden, he said the biggest thing was, how could you not see me as a person instead of just some entertainer for you? How dismissive of players as grown men who you might actually meet one of them and say, oh, this is an interesting guy. Oh, I'm interested in the things. He's a smart guy. I'm curious to hear what he has to say. Why is it that cannot exist in his mind in an NBA player? I mean, they're NBA players. I'm around them all the time. Oh, take it from me. They're useless. that's how it comes off when he says this. It's like, and so I got this question.
It's a shut up and dribble part.
Like, it is a shut up and dribble.
That's the way it feels.
So my question is, what's more damaging to the Celtics? Those comments from Danny Ainge, the guy who runs the team, or the comments from Kyrie over the last week? Because I don't think the comments from Kyrie are sort of a newsbreaker for NBA players. They have their opinions about Boston, and some have said, that's okay, I still think it's a good place to go play. And the thing we've always fallen back on here is players should want to play for the Celtics. They're a good organization. They have good owners that want to spend money and want to do right by players. I don't think you'd ever hear this from Wick. I know you wouldn't hear this from Brad Stevens.
So, I mean, we always,
this is not how Brad Stevens feels.
No. He doesn't feel that way. And that may give you a little insight as to maybe there isn't that attachment, that triangular attachment from ownership to GM to Brad to where we're all on the same page.
These are stunning comments. These, to me, are far more, I guess, damning and damaging to the Celtics than anything Kyrie said. This is bad.
So, you know, you're at a sit down, you're being interviewed. You get a chance to think, as opposed to maybe doing a hit and run golf interview while you're trying to juggle two things at the one time, throwing on my shoulder. I'm trying to get through this. Like, you had a chance to think before you spoke here on this one.
I got more on this. We all have more on this. And your call, 617-779-0985. We're right back after this on Zolak and Bertrand.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Zoe and Beetle. Up to date at work.
Rose. I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, you'd know it if
you'd
smelled
it. 98.5,
the Sports Hub.
Unfortunately, speaking of fan interaction, you heard Kyrie Irving's comments. We just played it right there. What is your take on what he said?
I don't know. Listen, I think that we take those kind of things seriously. I never heard any of that from any player that I've ever played with in my 26 years in Boston. I never heard that before from Kyrie, and I talked to him quite a bit. So, I don't know. As far as I'm concerned, it doesn't matter. You know, we're just playing basketball. Players can say what they want.
Yeah, they can say what they want. They're just NBA players.
See, and what player's really going to, like, if something's bugging you, really going to sit down with your GM, the guy that picked you, the guy that pays you, the guy decides whether you're on the team or not, really. And talk about everyday life stuff with them. That really doesn't happen. It's usually about your sport. Any issues or any run-ins you have with front office people or, like, out there in the court or at the office, you know, there's other people that you usually have those type of discussions with. And I'm not defending Danny here. I think he dismisses it as that. Like, I've had a lot of discussions with Kyrie. Yeah, you went to Chipotle. We know the record. You go to Chipotle with him a lot. And you probably sat down and talked about games. Hey, we want you here. We want you here long term, this and that. And yeah, maybe Kyrie never brought it up to him in those sit downs or private one on one meetings.
How about Marcus Smart when he publishes a story on it last fall?
But to not think that, hey, in 26 years, none of this ever existed that's a little naive. And that's being kind.
617-779-0985. Pete in Delaware, go ahead.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Pete.
Hey, you guys. So the other day I called you on Friday about what, you know, him not talking about DeMarcus Cousins as well as Marcus Smart, but I had not heard that audio until you guys played it. My jaw dropped because to me, that one there, and I know he's always safe with Wick and all, but that one's going to get him into some trouble that I think the Celtics are going to really have to reevaluate where Danny stands with today's NBA player because he doesn't get it.
No, and that's, again, a damaging thing that he just doesn't get it. Forget the, if you, again, that's why I tried to say take the political aspect out of it. How open do you think he is to listening to players when it comes to constructing the roster?
He doesn't care.
Or how involved is he in the players, period?
I don't think he cares.
To not know the story that Marcus Smart had already shared publicly, and I admit that story didn't get a lot of traction. We don't all speak to Marcus Smart on the regular, but we would assume that Danny Ainge would.
Yeah, this league has shifted. The league has shifted to where players now pick where they want to go and form these teams, and you've got to be able to adapt. You've got to change. Like, you know, you listen to that broadcast, too, and I went back and forth at times because I think Doris Burke was doing this game at the Nat with on, was it TNT or whatever station was on. And she was talking about what a great job their GM did. You know, like, but they crushed their team and devastated the Brooklyn Nets to give them the opportunity to form a team like this. He didn't do a great job. He ran into the freaking ground. But there's that perception. But you change because you have to change. You may have to run this thing in the ground to allow teams to want to assemble and come here or anywhere else. Like, the league has changed. And if you can't adapt to that, then you're the wrong guy. The league is changing. And we see with football, too. I mean, any all sports. And if you're going to be hard-headed as a coach or a GM or the guy that has final say on talent, then you're doing a disservice to your team and
Chris,
organization.
Chris in Hartford. Hi, Chris.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. What's up?
We got a couple things with Kyrie, okay? Number one, there are racial tendencies, racism, especially like in a Boston area, okay? That's number one. Just leave it alone, okay? Two, though, Kyrie is the guy that wants to be part of history. He wants to be part of history. History chooses us. We don't choose to be part of history. That's number two. Number three, I'm very offended when he, if he's talking about racism, he generalized all of Boston fans as racist.
Right.
Are you serious? That is actually a generalization. He's a racist. Have a great day, guys.
Okay, that doesn't make any sense. Stupid. I don't think he said every fan in Boston is racist either. I don't think he said that. But it doesn't matter because when I look at Kyrie,
it's how the city's perceived.
He doesn't have credibility.
Yeah.
He operates with no credibility really on anything.
And I think part of that too.
And he already has an answer on the record from 2 years ago. And again, he had not played a game in Boston with fans since he made the comments a couple of years ago. In which he said,
right.
No, I never experienced that in Boston as an opponent or as a Celtic. I have not seen that or heard that here in Boston. And now, 2 years later, he's talking about it, which tells you it's fraudulent.
And I think
he doesn't have credibility. Marcus Smart does.
I think that's why Danny answered that question the way he did with Touch and Rich. Not the 2019 interview, the sit-down that he did with Springer, but the Touch and Rich question about it where he went to the 26. He's like, yeah, I mean, I don't – they're players. They say what they want to say. Like, I think that's in response to, okay, we had Kyrie for 2 years. We know the earth's flat. That dude just says things to say things. And I think Danny answered the question that way, and it got termed differently. I could see why he would respond to that way. But I think the sit-down 2 years ago was more telling.
Damaging.
Yeah.
Jeff in Nashua. Jeff?
Hello, boys. Wow. Nothing NBA players have to offer Danny on any aspect in his life. Really? Unbelievable. Bye-bye, hater, Danny. It's been real. Now, the video of the water bottle toss, it's always good to see Celtics fans remind us of Delonte West's love life. Sometimes you forget the significance of that eggplant drop. Now, listen, Kyrie is a troll. His scripted postgame antics, it was obviously clear that he thinks the city and the Celtics are his doormat. And I just think that, you know, it'd be nice if they'd respond tonight with at least one hard foul on him, but that's not going to happen. I mean, other than
why?
Marcus.
Why can't that happen?
Because other
why
than
can't,
Marcus,
why can't you?
Anyone
well,
even
it can, but it won't.
Of committing it?
I'm with Jeff. That won't happen.
I'd like to see Marcus take it upon himself
to do it.
They're
not going to do anything.
And do it early.
They're not going to do a damn thing. They're afraid of him.
See, they're afraid of the guy that just totally dismisses the time that he spent here. Like he did, like it was never part of his player profile. He disrespects you, the court, the city, the organization so much that he's going to go and step and wipe. That's like wiping spit off your shoe or dog crap off your shoe right across the face.
I think there are a lot of people that feel like, oh, the Celtics should have Celtic pride. You know, like, where is that thing? Long gone.
That left with Garnett.
That's not a thing anymore. Yeah. It's not.
What's the name of that?
You try to assemble the best roster, and you hope that you can put together a great team.
What's the saying? Ubuntu, right? What was that?
Yeah.
That's gone.
Yeah, though I'd love to see another team like that in any city in the NBA. That cared as much as some of the teams that we've seen, especially Garnett and Pierce and Ray Allen.
Even Big Baby.
When Ray Allen liked everybody, you know?
Yeah.
Teams have really cared. I don't see a lot of that anywhere in this league anymore. Kyrie got what he wanted. He got exactly what he wanted here. And he, again, is doing the Celtics a favor because we're talking all about this and less about the fact that the Celtics are getting embarrassed and their season probably comes to a close tonight. Elimination coverage begins at what time, Hardy?
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock, the elimination party begins here on 98.5, the Sports Hub. We'll get back to more of your calls coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Putting you in the middle of the story.
Bob and Easton, Bob.
In the middle of the day.
You know why I love this show?
Zolak and Bertrand.
Because I have ADD. 38 seconds.
What do I?
I'm talking about Greer and Shanahan to Zolak TikTok.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Coming up at 11:50, we'll be giving away yet another pair of passes to Boston Calling. That is coming up. By the way, I want to say thanks to all of you who this morning were able to secure your foursomes in the Hoosier Caddy Classic. It's coming up on June 21st at Brook Meadow Country Club in Canton. The foursomes went quickly this morning. And we appreciate everyone who is going to be taking part. All proceeds of the event benefit the Pediatric Advanced Care Team at Boston Children's Hospital. And it's all being generously supported by The Long Drink, Coca-Cola Beverages Northeast, Top Shelf Cookies, Stone and Skillet, Anna's Taqueria, Boston Calling, and the Boston Bruins Foundation.
Got some emails on that, huh?
Yeah, I mean, it happens every...
why you?
Like, what, like, I don't know.
Like, we don't run the tournament.
I don't know.
We don't pick the foursomes.
I have nothing to do with it. I don't have anything to do with that.
Get sold out quick.
It went just like that.
Yep.
In an instant. There's so many people trying. I mean, it's a golf tournament.
Yeah, we'll be broadcasting live.
It's not like we could sell it's not like we could sell 200 foursomes. You know, there's only so many holes on the golf course and only so many foursomes you can sell.
Tell Louth, better put us outside. We'll get some sun that day. Hear that, Louth?
I'd like to be indoors, air conditioned, if it's hot that day. Thank you very much.
Oh, boy.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Just run a court out. Dennis is good at that.
Good, good.
It's outside. Yeah. Get one of those remote mics.
Because if we put you outside, you'll be totally useless and consumed.
Pretty much.
Yeah, running away and hitting off the tee for whichever, hole we're near. Yeah.
Still waiting on an update from Dennis's brother on my power washer.
I thought that thing was fixed in 15 minutes.
Oh, well.
Up and running in 10 minutes, Dennis said. He was standing right here already when he said that.
Oh, well. Yeah, Dennis was writing checks... with his brother's checkbook. He didn't check the balance on his brother's checkbook before he started writing those checks.
His body can't cash.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Let's go back to your phones. Tom in Londonderry. Hi, Tom.
Hi, Beetle. What the hell of an audio bomb was that? My goodness. I had to pull over the drive over the street because you shocked me so much with that audio clip. I cannot believe that Danny Ainge it still baffles my mind. I've been sitting on hold for an hour after you dropped that audio bomb, and I'm still like, I can't believe he said that. And and I'm starting to wonder, do we know when exactly he said that?
Yes,
because right around 2000.
September of 19. September of 2019.
Oh, so this was after Kyrie Irving had already left and soured on everybody. Because I was starting to think, was this said right around the time that Kyrie's attitude started to change and we started to really hate that just obnoxious prick?
Yeah, so this was a couple of months after Kyrie had left.
Yep.
All right, so forget that theory then. That goes out the window, just like my original take with him and the water bottle. Because now you look at this, if that stupid fan from Braintree didn't throw the bottle, Beetle, I'm thinking this is getting national attention. And I'm thinking that we start talking about what's Danny Ainge's job security like now. Because you can't explain that away, Danny. That is so tone deaf. And as much as I hate Kyrie, the opinions, the words that he is saying is exactly what is giving these NBA players the frustration and the emotion that they talk about when it comes to these life-altering political matters in the world. And they want to be equal in the eyes of their superiors, in the eyes of their fans. And Danny Ainge just poo-poos that. You cannot do that. If I'm Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, I hear that and I'm like, why did I sign with you?
It's a good question, Tom. How do his current players feel about him? How does Jaylen Brown feel about Danny Ainge if he has seen or heard that comment?
Well, they're going to get asked by it.
T-Bone, we got to play it again for those who didn't hear it the first go-around, and Tom just pumped it up and said, you know, it's an audio bomb, as he called it. I can't tell you how many people in the media have texted. So maybe people just haven't seen it.
Did we post it yet? We usually do that on our website and sort of the pod up so we could retweet it for people, put it on social
credit
media.
Credit to WBUR, credit to Shira Springer, who did the sit down with Danny Ainge September of 2019 as part of the City Space Broadcast Center, podcast series. I'm sorry if I don't have all the details of that wrong, but it happened in September of 2019 with WBUR. Play it again.
What do you make of the political activism and the social activism of today's players?
I mean, they're NBA players. I'm around them all the time. I'm much more curious of what you have to say about them than any NBA player or any famous person in Hollywood. They're probably the last people on earth that I would ask their opinion and political views. Like I said, Steve Kerr and Popovich, yeah, I like listening to them, but there's not very many players that I really care what they have to say about that are influencing me in any way on any aspect of life.
He could have handled that so much better. Like, if you can't think for yourself and, hey, make your own decisions, that you're going to sit there and wait for somebody like an NBA player or somebody from Hollywood influence you and tell you what to do and give you the marching orders, what to do. Does he feel that way still? Should be the question. 2 years after or 2 years plus removed.
Oh, I mean, he does. He would tell you he feels totally different. Which is crazy about this, though.
You kind of have to, right?
Let's say he felt that way. Yes? I mean, listen, he's given us
that's honest.
Because if it weren't honest, there's no reason why you would say it like that.
Does he dismiss it because they make so much money? Like, do you look at it because, people in Hollywood make so much money that they really don't, they can't relate to the everyday person. I don't know. Or in the athlete, the superstar athlete that makes $35 million a year can't relate to the everyday person. And they shouldn't be telling you what to do.
They're the last people on earth. Hollywood actors.
Why?
Because NBA players. But,
is it the monetary?
The old white guy coaches in my league? No, I'd listen. I'm interested in what they have to say.
What?
And you can't. That's not even drawn on political lines because we know where Steve Kerr and Greg Popovich land. To the left. And Danny's to the right. So he could equally be just as dismissive of them as anyone else he named.
Right.
But he didn't. Oh, no. Those guys. Colleagues. Friends. People I respect. Yeah, I want to hear them.
I mean,
regardless of
their opinions. You could have built up your own organization. Like, we feel we're different here. Like, we don't only like our players from what they do on the court. We like them for what they do off the court.
I'm trying
how well-rounded they are. It was so mishandled, Hardy.
I'm trying to understand at the time. This is in the spring of 2019 when this happened.
Fall. September of 19.
Okay. So this is a few months after Remember when Steph Curry went on the podcast with Andre Iguodala and a couple of other like players?
Yeah, they were talking about
how have we ever been to the moon?
Right.
No, we haven't been to the moon. They were talking about dinosaurs and, you know, they don't exist. And, you know, the moon landing, you know,
probably had to deal with Kyrie for 2 years. You know,
that's a hoax. And he's it's in the midst of that. This is not last summer.
Right.
This is at a time when it seemed like the next player to open up his mouth was going to talk about some other foolishness. And I'm trying to get into the mindset that maybe Danny Ainge was
at 9/11. You're trying to excuse make for him.
I'm considering trying the setup, to understand.
No, he's right.
Considering
there's not the heightened sensitivity that we have now.
Well, the setup of the question was opposition to President Trump and opposition to in questions of social issues and political issues. That was the setup in the question. We edited that. We got to leave that in, T-Bone.
We should, to be fair, to play the whole question.
Yeah, we can't edit this answer.
Yeah.
So that was the setup to the question. It was not the earth is flat. It was politics, is what it was.
And just like I tried to understand how Kyrie could think the earth was flat, I'm trying to understand how Danny could give that answer.
I understand what you're saying.
I'm trying to be understanding.
You're trying to understand, like, hey, I just went through 47 different wacko responses throughout this league of what guys think. I just want them to play hoops.
I'm not interested in their worldview. Might as well just say shut up and dribble.
Might as well just give them the old shut up and dribble. Why don't you just give him that one next time?
That's the way it comes across.
Yeah, just go ahead and play your bouncy ball, please.
He didn't say that.
He should have.
He didn't.
It would have been more succinct.
But
617-779-0985. Your thoughts on this are coming up. Don't go.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
You want to talk sports in Boston, you talk to these guys.
That will not be a recycled take.
Right.
But it's a retake.
It's a reheated take. Microwave take.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Not good.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
As promised, right now, caller 10 to the Pride Motor Group contest line at 617-931-0985. We'll score a pair of general admission.
Yep.
3-day weekend passes for the Boston Calling Music Festival. It's coming back to Harvard Athletic Complex next year in 2022. So don't miss the just-announced headliners, Foo Fighters, and Rage Against the Machine. You can get your early bird tickets before they're gone right now by going to the website bostoncalling.com. But if you're caller 10 on the Pride Motor Group contest line, again, the number 617-931, different number, 931-0985, you will get a pair of 3-day weekend passes.
You tell mom and dad you're going to Harvard. I did it, mom. Yep. Heading down to Harvard.
Let's rip it up. Back to your calls on what has been a very dramatic weekend at the Garden. In a couple of different ways. For the Celtics, it's been all about Kyrie Irving. It's been about a fan who threw a bottle at Kyrie Irving. For the Bruins, it was about a great return to some normalcy and a great win for the Bruins in game one and, well, a tough loss in game two.
And he got Pastrnak with that hat trick. You don't wear the suit that he wore to the arena that night unless you knew, like, okay, tonight's my night. Like, when you pull that sucker, that white suit with it's all emblazoned, but I don't know what the hell that stuff was on it. Where do you even get that at?
It screams, I'm ready to go.
And then in the nasty-ass ankle socks with the, Aldo slip-on shoe. His feet had to smell. But look good up top.
Dan is in Newton. Hi, Dan.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
What a bomb. Oh, and Zoe, definitely. Dressing nice shows you how good you're going to play, you know, Cam Newton. But anywho.
You know what? You're right. Take my point back.
I looked up the timing.
Does he really dress nice?
Now, this is staying completely political neutral. It was right after that GM in the NBA, like right before Danny said that. Right after that, the GM tweeted about, like, China.
Correct.
And then they got all crazy about that. And then, oh, man, it was the election. Then, oh, that was the beginning of, like, the first COVID patient.
No.
It was like Danny Ainge's comment.
No, not 19.
No, Dan, this is from September 6th is when it was published, September of 2019. It was about a month before the incident with Daryl Morey sending out the tweet about China. And that was before everything else followed, the fallout of that, which was LeBron James, of course.
Yep. And then stripping all the NBA signage down for the big game that was taking place
before
up there.
All of that. Yeah. Ryan in Woonsocket. Hi, Ryan.
Yeah, I'm just wondering why you guys aren't calling Danny Ainge out for what it really is.
What is it?
What is it, Ryan?
It's racism. It's racism. He's saying, I don't care about the opinions of young black people, yet the two old white coaches who are saying the same thing, oh, I'll hear them out. I'll listen to them. It's closed-minded at best, but I'm ashamed you guys aren't calling it out for what it really is. It's a form of racism.
Why?
I don't get
that. That's exactly what we've been doing. We've been talking about it under that very umbrella.
You can make
umbrella.
Your own assumption. I'm not going to call a person racist unless you really have a derogatory term that you sling at somebody. Then, yeah, or you do something that is racially motivated.
I would
then
say
you're racist. This is he's just dismissing any player, I think.
That it's much easier to see racism in the opinions being valued of Popovich and Kerr versus NBA players.
Yes.
Could be perceived. Whether or not it is, I don't know for sure. Right? Like with any of these issues, how do you know for sure? I don't know. That could be perceived as racism far more easily than an idiot fan throwing a water bottle at Kyrie Irving. Far more easily. And I would say if I were a player, I'd be far more offended by what was said in this interview 2 years ago, 2019, September of 2019. I'd be more offended by that than I would be at Kyrie saying, oh, we all know Boston has subtle racism. I'd be far more turned off by the Ainge comments, not just 2 years ago in September of 2019, but with the comments he made to Toucher and Rich last week, which again, Adrian Wojnarowski has reported has surprised people in league circles. It has surprised people across the NBA that he said what he said a week ago. I'd be far more turned off by that than anything else. You want me to go play for that guy? Nah, I'm good. And that is, I think, damaging to the Celtics. And I am. I'm curious, as a previous caller said.
It's been a damaging week for the Celtics.
How do his current players feel about him?
Yeah. It's been a damaging week for them.
Their team is on the verge of being eliminated from the playoffs.
I thought Tatum was good.
They had an entirely disappointing season start to finish. And they're supposed to be further along in their build than they are. And the guy that they couldn't figure out how to keep him here in Kyrie Irving is now mocking their team, mocking their city, getting exactly what he wanted in a fan reaction, throwing a bottle at him. And he's going to move on to the playoffs and he'll be competing for a championship while the Celtics are at home trying to figure out where they go next.
Yep.
That's a terrible place to be.
And he'll be looked at and put on a pedestal and looked at as a guy that molded a team and willed a team to victory and, he's a leader and people are followers of him. Yeah. I thought Jason Tatum was good the other night after the game, after the bottle was done. He's like, hey, our fans were great Friday night. And then in the packed house, they were unbelievable. And it's a shame that one person ruins it for all the great fans and all the support that we have. And Tatum handled it with class. So I feel bad for guys like that. They got to deal with this now. So, yeah, you've given Kyrie, his due, his day. Yeah. You've what do you call it?
Validated?
Not even that he needed
validated. Well, for people, emboldened.
Enhanced him. Yes.
For people who don't know Kyrie and don't know,
you'll never give him validation if you think he's a wacko.
Well,
what I mean?
Exactly.
You've given him more right to speak out on things. That's what you've done.
For casual fans around the league that don't know about his antics and his craziness. Maybe they heard a couple of days ago, he said, man, I hope people keep it to basketball. And I hope, there's nothing racist that goes on and, people attacking me under the umbrella of racism. And then someone throws a water bottle at him. He says, see, I told you it was racist. That's what they hear. So, yeah, they have validated. He's been validated by people who aren't really paying attention and don't look at anything beyond just the bare facts of it, which are, wow, this has potential to be a racist situation. someone threw a water bottle at me. That's racist. And that's what people hear. And it's sound clips. Quick. To the point. That's where his validation comes from.
That's the saddest part of it. Because, I mean, I've been around arenas and stadiums. I've seen stuff thrown like that. You know? That stuff spilt on us. And you never thought that, but now you will think that because he initiated the context to what the situation's going to be and what it will dictate. Yeah. Yeah, you've embodied him. Emboldened him.
And embodied means you've
I'd embody
your spirit has entered his physical body.
We will get to that point with him at some point where he will embody someone because he's that.
Well, spiritual.
Yeah. Get some incense going.
Hardy has our headlines. There's no commercials here at the top of this hour. It was a great weekend for everyone to get back into the building at the Garden and have some sense of getting back to normal. And we didn't spend a lot of time talking about the Bruins' first game of their series and David Pastrnak. We just mentioned it in passing. Why don't we get back into the Bruins and their weekend? We, of course, will continue with Celtic stuff all day long. They continue that series tonight in Brooklyn. Don't go anywhere. We're right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.